Okay, well, let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We do ask, Lord, that you will help us as we read it to meditate on it, to put it into practice in our life, that it may be a blessing to us and to others whom are affected by it, Lord. And we pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So normally I continue teaching from the book of Galatians, as I have been doing for many weeks. But today I would like to share something different. I would like to talk about something that's been in my heart for the last few weeks or maybe years, but you'll find out what it is in a few minutes. So if you would join me, please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 and verses 14 through 17. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and verses 14 through 17. Give everybody a moment to get there. It says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise. Go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find him. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, for they did not find him. When they had come to the land of Soph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. And he said to him, look, there is now in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Let's skip to the following verses, all the way to verse 14. So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel, coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the land of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come up to me. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. And these are all the verses we'll read today. So the title of today's message is Blessed While Chasing Donkeys. You may ask yourself, what is this title all about? This is because that while Saul was chasing donkeys, God called him to be king. The main idea here is that Saul was blessed while he was involved in humble service. The idea of sharing this passage came to me on June the 4th, 2020, at about 1 p.m. Now, earlier that same day, at 12:19 p.m., I received a text message that read like this. Hello, brothers. There is some work outside the chapel to be done before the summer gets too hot. There are a few plants and trees that need to be cleaned up. They need to put mulch around them. Otherwise, these will slowly die. Lawn care folks are damaging the trunks while trimming. So my initial thought was probably along these lines. Well, that would not be good for those trees to die. I hope really somebody takes of those trees. But then my phone and my conscience were silent for the next 4 minutes. Well, at 12:23, there was a follow-up text. And it said like this. It said, this Saturday morning, let me know how many of you can come Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I would like to tell you what my thoughts were when I received this text. But first, let me tell you about my thoughts other times I have received invitations to serve like this. My first thought is usually something like this. Oh, no, not on Saturday or Monday or Friday or Sunday. It really doesn't matter which day of the week. Usually my first thought is like, oh no. I start thinking things like, oh, I live so far away, others live closer, they should be the ones to go. Oh, I was really looking forward to sleeping in on Saturday, there goes that, even though this is really a lie. I can't really sleep in on Saturdays as I used to. Or, you know, sometimes I think things like, well, I will sign up once I learn more. Here's one of my favorite ones that makes me feel really good. I usually think, I want to give others the opportunity to serve. And the one that never happens, well, I wish I hadn't read these texts. Okay, they're asking me to get a little bit closer to the mic. Okay, I hope this is a little bit better. So normally I say these things. I think, you know, I wish somebody else would do it. I wish I'm going to give somebody else the opportunity to help. I really don't want to do this. I wish I had never read this text. But my thoughts and response to the text of June the 4th were different. Before I tell you what I thought when I got this text, let me tell you about another event that influenced my response. One day I was jogging with my wife, and she told me she had been taking a Bible study and she had learned something important from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And we all know this verse. This is what it says. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. She told me she had been learning that it was important to say yes to the Lord and then wait to get details. Instead of asking what was involved, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Now Isaiah was given the important commission to prophesy, to talk to his people on behalf of God. What does this have to do with putting down mulch on Saturday morning, you may ask? Well, I was not sure either if I could apply Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 in this context, but I thought since there was a need that God had made me aware of, it was important to say yes first, and then trust God with the details. So this time when I received this text that I just read to you earlier, I said yes with gladness and without asking questions. Then the Lord brought our passage for this morning to my mind. And this time, instead of having my normal negative thoughts to these types of invitations, I was blessed with joy. Well, there's not much good to say about King Saul from the passage that we read. It's probably as much as there is good in his account from the Bible. But one thing is sure, Saul was blessed while he was chasing donkeys. At the peak of his account in Scripture, the time when God called Saul and he was most blessed was while he was performing a humble task. After saying yes to the Lord, after I said yes to this invitation to put down mulch, the Lord led me to discover that invitations to serve him in menial tasks, like chasing donkeys or putting down mulch, are many times divine appointments for blessing. Now, you and I may not become kings after we serve him in a humble way, but ultimately, we are always being blessed by doing what pleases him. So let's make some observations of our passage. I would like to see some of the features of Saul's humble heart in this stage of his life. Let's begin with verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 tells us about Saul's appearance. It says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not more a handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So this tells us about how Saul looks like. One remarkable thing, one thing that I thought about this is that Saul was a very tall, and he was just not a handsome man or a good looking man. It says here that he was the most handsome man in the whole area or in the whole land of Israel. But there is something really remarkable about Saul right here. Even though he was handsome, his heart was also very humble. So that's a good thing for some of us or some of you who are handsome. You can be handsome and you can be humble at the same time. Well, Saul was humble in this period of his life, and God liked this. He liked this about Saul. He liked that he was a humble man. Now let's look at some passages to see how humble he was. Look at chapter 9 and verse 21 ahead. And after Saul, Samuel invites Saul to eat with him to give him an important announcement that the Lord had given him to make him king. This is what Saul says in chapter 9 and verse 21. And Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this?" Who am I, Saul is saying? Who am I? Just a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Benjamin. Who am I? You can see the humble heart of Saul in his response. Later, when Saul disobeyed God, which is the main bulk of his account, God reminded him at the end of his life how he took notice of him, how God took notice of him when he used to be humble. Let's skip to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? When you were little in your own eyes, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" So in the midst of chasing donkeys, what God noticed about Saul was his humble heart. It was this humble heart that led the most handsome men of Israel to go on a donkey chase to obey his father. So an unassuming, loving, and humble heart is what God wants to see in service. This is the most important thing in whatever thing that we do. Now, let's notice how the details of his service teach us some principles for a humble heart. Look at verse 3. It says, "Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, 'Please take one of the servants with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys.'" So the first thing that we notice on verse 3 is that Saul was obeying his father. Now, how many of us as parents have lost something around the house? Well, I'm sure most of us have, or at least I have. Now, how many of our kids, or my own kids, at least I can tell you about mine, like to look for things that I have lost? I'm going to tell you, this is probably one of the least favorite things I used to like to do for my father. When he lost something, trying to find something that he lost, it was very difficult for me. It is not my favorite thing. Nevertheless, here the donkeys get lost, there is a need, and Saul gets involved in a task that appears menial, but that was necessary. And he does it for the love of his father. He obeys his father with gladness. Let's look at verse 4. It says, "So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them." And then on verse 5, it says, "Then they had come to the land of Saul." So if you notice on verse 4, it tells us that Saul was very diligent on this task. Saul passed for at least 4 territories until he got to Saul, the number 5, including a mountain zone, looking for his father's donkeys. Saul was being very diligent in this task. This is not something where his father asked him to do something, and he was just taking the lazy road about it. He was really working hard at this. He had gone through 4 territories, and now he's in the land of Saul in the 5th territory. He had gone through mountains, and he was really working hard in chasing these donkeys. Let's look at verse 5. It says, "When they had come to the land of Saul, Saul said to his servant who was with him, 'Come, let us return. Let my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us.'" This is very important right here. And verse 5 tells us that Saul was mindful of his father's heart. Now, this is important because it tells us that while Saul was being obedient, he was doing it with the right heart. His true focus was in how his father was feeling, in the heart of his father. He was concerned that his father will become worried about him not being around anymore and being lost chasing these donkeys. Saul thought, and then let's look at verse 6. It says, "And he said to him, 'Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man.'" This is what the servant says to Saul. "And he says, 'All that he says surely comes to pass, so let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go.'" Well, we know Saul agreed to this. So the fifth thing that we notice here is that Saul sought God's help with this humble task. So we look at these principles of Saul's humbleness in obeying his father. And during this task of this humble or menial task of chasing donkeys, this is when Saul was most blessed in his life. While he was being humble, while he was obeying his father, while he was involved in a tasks that appeared menial and tedious, when he was looking really hard and being diligent, when he was being mindful of his father, when his focus was his father's heart, when he sought God's help to do the work that God had given him to do, chasing donkeys, he was most blessed. This is the occasion that God used to call Saul to become king over Israel. So in an account that begins with chasing donkeys in verses 7 through 17, we're not going to read those verses, we see that God orchestrates all kinds of events to bless Saul and to confirm his plans to be king. So before continuing this account, or before continuing our text, it is important to make a parenthesis or take a small pause here, because not much can be said for the latter days of Saul as a king or as a man of God. And this is important for us to notice too, because we also learn from his example in that side. For example, we know that Saul, at the end of his life, he was a leader who was afraid of his men, but who was not fearing God when God had asked him to kill all the Amalekites and all their animals and everything that they had. He spared the Amalekites and the king and the best of the cattle. So we see that he was afraid of his men because his men were putting some pressure on him and he didn't want to confront them. We know he was self-glorifying because after this battle, he built a monument for himself. We know that after Samuel confronted him about his disobedience, he was full of excuses for his sin. At the end of his life, Saul thought of God as someone whom he could change, someone whom he could manipulate, and that was the problem with Saul. And Saul did all of this because he changed from following God with humbleness, as he began in his account, to eventually turning his heart and follow his heart above God's. As opposed to David, a man after God's own heart and was chosen later, Saul began to chase his own heart. But in spite of all of this, in spite of all the negative things we can read about Saul, this early season of Saul's life can be a great lesson to all of us. Consider that the highlights of Saul before the Lord did not come from battle victories. It didn't come from his position as king. That's not the good that God has to say about Saul or from what he gained in his life. The highlight of this story before God was humble service before him. Saul was blessed while he was chasing donkeys. Have you ever been blessed while serving our Lord in a humble task? Let me use the example of our elders as men who are often blessed while they chase donkeys in a figure of speech. Let me just give you a few examples. For example, our brother George, we have known him for many years. He has been blessed for years while filling out the water, while mowing the lawn, or while fixing things that get broken in the building all the time. Our brother Ray is the same way. He has been blessed while doing repairs, mounting props for kids and carnivals, or cleaning after kids' club every Sunday that he has it. I can also tell you about our brother Johnson traveling far to help others. I'm not going to give you all the details of that, but he has done amazing service to our Lord in a very humble task. Or our brother Sam, I remember he helped me move to the distant land of Anna on a Saturday morning when he could have been resting, offering me to help me. And he offers always to help me every time there is a need. I could go on and on with examples from our elders and many of you who serve in the assembly in humble tasks. May God continue to bless you in the service to our God. So you may have two questions, as I had as I was studying this passage. Beyond Saul, how do we know God is pleased with humble service? When we serve, we have to remember that we are ultimately not following the example of Saul. We are following the example of Christ. He gave us the utmost example of humbleness. He came to serve and not to be served. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Well-known passage, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave, the people who do the most menial tasks. Just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't just come to give his life to save us. He says right here that he also gave his life or came here to serve. So you may ask yourself another question, well, how humble is my service? Many times it's very it's an oxymoron, I guess, because sometimes our humbleness makes us proud. So is there any room to be proud in humble service? And, you know, okay, phrases like this, thank you, God, that I am a humble person. Well, there's not really room for that. You may think that when you're being humble, you're going down in some levels of your status in ministry or in doing menial service. You may think, well, you know, I have a really great job, but I come down so many levels in doing this kind of work or service for the Lord. Let me read some passages, some verses from Philippians chapter 2. And if you want to read the full passages from verses 3 to 11, I'm just going to read a few verses from verses 4 through 7. It says, let each one of you look only not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Consider how much Christ humbled himself and how many levels he descended to come to this earth to be a servant and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, you may be the top executive of the greatest company of this world, and when you do the janitorial service in the church, you may think, or at the chapel, I'm sorry, you may think that you are really going down a number of levels from your high position to doing cleaning work at the assembly. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many levels you go down in service or in doing menial tasks. Consider this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Almighty God. He came down from heaven and he humbled himself to become a man, and not even then to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Every time pride for humble service creeps in, remember to give glory to Christ. Remember to compare your service to the service in Christ and find your right place, because no one will be ever as humble to the level that he was. So how do you feel when you learn there is a need at the assembly, at home or at your workplace, or elsewhere that requires some humble work or some menial, something many times tedious work? Have you considered that when you do this work with faith, with love, with diligence, unassumingly, like Paul here, or independent on God's help, that God is pleased? And when God is pleased, you are being blessed. That morning when I received this text and when I read this passage that I'm sharing with you this morning, I was blessed with the Lord, and I was so thankful to be able to help with something that the Lord was putting before me. So what are other contexts or other areas in which you can serve the Lord and will he please? Let's look at a couple examples in the Bible. What about serving and giving your time and resources to help others? Is God pleased with this? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When you do good and when you share, God is pleased. What about offerings? What about when we give our resources or our money to the Lord, when we worship him through our offerings? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And look what it says at the end once more. For God loves a cheerful giver. When we give from our money, from our resources to the Lord, and we do it cheerfully, God loves this. God loves it when we serve from a humble heart, from a willing heart. How about serving God at work or at whatever other circumstance that may involve for you to do any menial work? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Do everything that you do for the Lord, not considering the men around you, not considering the eye service that you may be paying, but just do your service for the Lord. So just in closing, I would like to share a couple of applications, things to think about. First of all, God sees our heart. God is always looking at our heart. When we do menial service, regardless of the context, what is most important is what we have in our heart. God wants to see a heart in us like the heart he saw in Saul in his early days. He wants to see a heart in us that is willing to serve, that is willing to obey, that is willing to do work for him unassumingly. God also wants our heart to be poured, both when we do menial service or with more complex ministries. Many times it's easier for some of us to pour our heart to ministries that we think are more complex, but not put so much attention to ministries that may be more menial. God wants our heart poured in both, just like he did with Saul. He wanted his heart to be poured in chasing donkeys, and later on, he also wanted his heart to be poured in his service as king. It is easier to develop humbleness in our hearts when the service is menial. Many times God will put us in situations where we have to do humble service for that very purpose. God wants our hearts to be humble, and he wants to develop this humbleness in us, and many times he uses menial work to help us have a humble heart. So this is very important for us to do. And the last application, the last thing that I'd like to invite you to think about is serve the Lord always with joy from the heart. Whatever God finds you to do, whatever you find to do, serve him with joy from the heart. Consider that God has prepared works beforehand that you may walk in them, good works that you may walk in them. And some of these works may include menial work. Some of these works may include tedious work. Some of these work may include work that is necessary and that nobody wants to do. Serve the Lord with joy from the heart, because this is his plan for us. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example that we learned from Saul. Thank you, Lord, for the example of your son, Jesus Christ, in serving and in loving us and giving his life for us. Help us, Lord, to serve him with the same spirit, serve you with the same spirit, through your Holy Spirit, with your help. And do it, Lord, to receive the blessing of loving you and serving you. We praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.